Let's go to our Bibles. Acts chapter 27, 20, New Living Translation. I want to talk about the master of storms, the master storm calmer. And of course, storms of life is the topic that we're talking about tonight. Our text is Acts chapter 20, 27. Let's go there right now. And thank you for watching, those of you that are watching online. Let's go to Acts 27, verse 20. Paul is here, we believe Luke is the one that's writing this, Acts 27. And he says, the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until all hope was gone. We want you to know that God is the master storm calmer. He is the one that's going to be there to calm your storm when you go through a hard time. Many of us will go through many storms in life. Storms can make us feel hopeless. I'm sure these people here, it says in there that when you don't see the sun, you don't see the stars, it's dark, all hope is gone, it says. So storms can make you feel, very hopeless, as the scripture says right here. But when all hope is gone, there is no vision of a better tomorrow when all hope is gone. You don't see tomorrow. You can't see anything positive. And my cousin's son, like last week, he mentioned to you that took his own life, and just a young man, 18 years old. I've been in situations where I was talking to folks who had lost close ones who've ended their own lives. And sometimes it's a rash of them. And I've been a part of the process where people want to talk to someone because they need somebody to talk to and still hope in them. And so last week I went to two funerals to try to encourage people. To see, what do you say to someone who's lost their son? What do you say to a young woman just starting out in life, losing their mother, and 30 years old, 35 year old? And you feel that as a minister. And ministers go through, I don't know if you understand this, but ministers go through things like a fireman goes through, or police, they go through PTSD as well, and tough times like that. So we hear a lot of stories that after hours and during, everybody's at home. And so we get to hear these stories. What do you do with them? And I thank God that we can talk to the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that helps us through all our troubles. So the Bible tells us that we have many people in the scriptures that have gone through a lot of storms. And they've lived to tell it and gave glory to God. The scripture says that Noah. I think I'm getting what you got. Noah went through a storm that lasted 40 days and 40 nights. This resulted from the sins of the people of his day. How many people know that people in your community who you live with affect your life every day? I was reading somebody, I think Ed sent me a little periodical or something on an article about our minister here. Patty Haidu announced a program of, I don't know, X millions of dollars, that Thunder Bay was declared one of the cities, or the city in a certain section of it, was one of the worst cities for racism. And they calculate that by someone. I don't know how they do that. But what happens in our city affects us, doesn't it? What goes on in our city affects the whole area. There's that there that we have to deal with. And you didn't cause it, so other people's decisions can affect you. And here, Noah, he was the people of his day weren't listening to God and weren't living right. It affected him. It affected his family. And so storms are caused by yourself or by other people around you. Jonah went through a storm because of his own disobedience to God. God gave him a vision to do something and caused a storm to come in his life. And his life affected those people who they were around that were around him. And you know, if you're with someone who has trouble, or trouble follows them around, and thank God the Bible says that mercy and grace follows you all around, all your life. And so, Jonah, he was on that ship, and there was a great storm that came to that ship and tossed it around, and they were almost going to die. They were losing hope as well. And so, because he decided not to follow God, and he got into trouble, it affected those other folks. And so the storms of life will hit you no matter if you're saved or not. Everyone will get affected in some way. And we need to look at that in perspective and see. So we will all go through storms. Whether you're saved, you're born again, you're called a Christian, you go to church, but read the Bible. And you will go through storms. And I don't, you know, some people say, well, don't confess that off on me. I'm not confessing that off on you. The Bible is telling you this. Jesus said it himself, and the scriptures are right clear. And here's one scripture for you. The Bible says in Psalm 34:19, the righteous person will face many troubles, but the Lord will come to rescue them each time. So many people believe only the first part. They believe in the troubles, but they don't believe in the rescue. And so we need to believe in the rescue. The rescuer, and that's God. He'll come and rescue you when you have trouble. But like Pastor Dave said, you don't just cry, and that's it. But there's other things we should do. So we will all go through storms, and there are various kinds of storms, and no matter who we are, the storms can be a financial difficulty. It could be a marriage that's gone wrong. Could be a family problem that's been there, and it hasn't gone away for many, many years. It could be a business situation you're in with your business, and things are going wrong in that situation. A storm is coming, has come there. Could be a social situation that affects all of us. You're in a storm, but you're there. Could be the economics of our region, of our city, gas problems, shortages. Shortages in lumber. People say lumber costs $1 million for one piece of wood today. They're saying all kinds of stuff, how much it costs to build a house today. It could be sickness, a storm of physical problems, of sickness in your body, or someone in your life, if someone that is close to you, maybe even a breadwinner of your home, and they get sick. And that causes many other rippling effects of trials, health situations. So no matter who we are, storms will come to us. But we have to recognize there is a master storm calmer. He's the one, he's the master. He will calm our storm. Paul and his company was hit by a life-threatening disease, storm, hitting them. The Apostle Paul went through storms in his own life because the enemy, the devil, opposed the plan of God in his life. And for anybody else following God, and you have a plan that's significantly affecting the good of many people, the devil will see to it that he'll come visit you and come. If he can't get to you, he'll get to someone close to you to try to track you down, to stop you, slow you down, or even permanently get you out of the way. And even if you didn't do anything for God, he'll still track you down. He doesn't want you to start off anything. So let's have a look here at a time when the Apostle Paul and his company fell into a great storm. They were at sea. Their lives were in jeopardy. God preserved all the people in that particular time, but they lost a lot of things. Of course, it really terrorized them. Maybe they had to go counseling after this. I don't know. If you go through trials, they say you have PTSD or something like that. It just really affects you. I've had it. I didn't know what it was. They didn't label it when I was going through it. They just said, you just have hard times. Take this. Talk to me in the morning. And so the best thing was being able to talk to somebody. So God preserved them, saved them, but they lost all their stuff on that boat. You see, Paul was on a mission for God, and doing the purposes of God, and God had a plan for him and those people that he could have affected or was, you know, going to affect for the gospel. And God rescued him because he followed God. Those with Paul enjoyed the blessing that came along with Paul, and thank God that because God blessed Paul, God told Paul that I'm going to save everybody on that ship that you're on. And no one is going to lose their lives, but they'll lose all the stuff they had. They just had to go to shore. So, you see, Paul had a mission there, and God helped him. It's good to know that you have a mission. I remember, you know, Pastor Rick, he was saying that he was on this, you know, this plane, and it was they went through a terrible, I don't know, you know, when you go through the clouds and there's all kinds of storm, the storm in the cloud. What do you call those things? Just turbulence. And he says, you know, don't worry about it, praise God. You know, he says, everybody, we're going to be saved. I got to go, I get to my destiny. And so it's good to know you have a plan. I mean, God has a plan for you. It's good to know you have a good, clear. If you got a good, clear plan, there's a reason for you to go to the other side of the lake. That's right. Because there's something there waiting for you. And I was just kind of quickly mentioned this, you know, Paul, Jesus and them were on that ship. We'll talk about that later. And they had this storm, and they got, you know, God, Jesus calmed that storm. But when they landed on the other side, there was a demon-possessed man waiting for them. That's how life is. You go through a storm. Just when you thought this was all over, a demon appears. You know, so just when you thought this was all over. But so, let's go to Acts chapter 27, verse 15 to 20, New Living Translation. But the weather changed abruptly, and the wind of typhoon strength called Northeaster burst across the island and blew us to the sea. Ooh, they were just pulled to the sea, pulled out to the darker, deeper levels of water. Isn't that how it is, eh? I don't know, have you ever been to, you know, the first time I've noticed it when I went to, we went to all kinds of beaches in California when the girls were younger, and they took us all over. You just follow the kids sometimes, you know. So we went to these beaches, and you get in the water. I didn't realize that the water can just pull you out over there. And I was trying to get back to the shore, and I ended up way far away. But anyway, and I should have read the sign that says, be careful. Read the label. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. Verse 16, they sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Kata, and where they were great, with great difficulty, we hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. Then the sailors, verse 17 says, bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across the sandbars of Cyprus of the African coast. So they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. Does that ring a bell? Yeah, he does. Okay. Verse 18, the next day the gale force winds continued to batter the ship, and the crew began throwing cargo overboard. How would you like them to throw your stuff overboard? So the next day, verse 19 says, the following day they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. Verse 20, we read this earlier. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and stars until at last all hope was gone. So here, imagine if you're in this situation. You haven't seen finances for 2 years. You're in your house and nobody's come to visit you because of COVID or whatever it is. And you haven't sold anything. You're a business person. And things happen. And your kid hasn't come home for 2 months. And you're going through trials. Your husband has no... You don't have seen your husband for a while. Things going on. And you're going through the darkest hour of your life. With your life, your marriage seems to be going off in the wrong direction. And there's... things that go through your mind, the devil is taunting you. Oh, you're supposed to be a Christian. Aren't you guys supposed to have trouble-free life? You know? Aren't you? What kind of a believer are you? What kind of a faith person are you? You shouldn't have this problem. You're a pastor, aren't you? And, you know, I mean, the devil can taunt you and just never stop. The scripture says the devil keeps coming and coming and coming. And so he'll try to get you off course or make you quit. And that's what the problem is, you know. The devil puts pressure on you, especially during the harder time. He puts even more pressure on you so that you'll give up and say the word doesn't work. And that's what the pressure is there for, so that you can just give up. He wants you to give up. So in this story that Paul was on trial, and he had appeared to Caesar, so he was on the ship going somewhere. You know, Jesus told him, I'm going to take you before kings and leaders. And Paul knew some things about his situation. It's good to know your own life. You know, he had appealed to a higher court. So he went there, and he knew what to do in his own life. It's good to have understanding about court systems and different things, what your rights are. And Paul did, so he appealed. So they went through this hard situation. Paul went through this hard situation, and he appealed to Caesar. So they're going over there, and so it was difficult. You know, just imagine all the trial that he went through, and all the emotional stuff that he had to go through while he's sailing. Maybe he thought, hey, I wonder if I heard God right. You know? And the devil said, you probably didn't hear God right. Yeah. And yeah, he did say to go to ministry, but you went too soon. No, he's telling you go next year. You know, whatever it is, the devil will put things on you and tell you stuff. It's not working. The word of God is not working. So, the storms will hit anybody. We see even with the disciples, you could be walking close with Jesus and yet still be hit by a storm like these disciples. The Bible doesn't make promises that you won't go through a storm. In fact, it tells you that you will go through storms. So, here, if we're talking about storms, we talked about the righteous person will face many trials or troubles, but the Lord will come to rescue him every time. Psalm 34:19. So, what are storms? Jesus used the word storms, you know, as a metaphor, as a figure of speech, as an analogy. And for storms, Jesus meant troubles in life. Storms come to everyone, all of us, and nobody here will be exempt from a storm. Jesus never said that no one we'll go through a trial again. If you come to me as Lord and Savior, I'm your Lord and Savior, you'll never go through a trial. How many people know we're living in right now where the devil is Lord? How many people know that God is not in control of everything? You know, because, you know, Jesus said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he said things like that. So it's not always that God's not always in control. He's only in control of what you give him. And how you believe in him. So, you know, you have to be careful with that. So everybody, he says here, Jesus is using this storm as a metaphor. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29. He says, everybody who hears these words of mine, I'm reading CEB Bible. Everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder who built his house on a bedrock. The rain fell and the floods came. The winds blew and beat against that house. See, he's talking about a storm. But he's using it as a type of trials that you go through in life. It's not easy going through a storm. It's not you know, pleasant. And it's there. You might be going through, you know, eating your breakfast, but the storm is there. You're going to brush your teeth at night, or you're doing your work. The storm is there, raging. And the devil is telling you, you're not going to get through this one this time. And so it says in here, it didn't fall because it was firmly planted on a bedrock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice will be like a fool who built his house on a sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. It fell and was completely destroyed. When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his at his teaching because he was teaching them like someone with authority and not like the legal experts. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16:33, the Common English Bible says, I've said these things to you so that you will have peace in me. It's good to be peace, have peace in Christ. In the world. Hello? We're in this world. Jesus is talking about this world we're living in. He said, in this world, you will have distress. But be encouraged. I've conquered the world. That's the Common English. I want to read the New Living Translation said, I've told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you'll have many trials. How many trials? Many trials. And sorrows too. If you're going through sorrows, well, it's not God's will, but you'll go through them. But hey, he said to smile. He said to just go, recognizes I've overcome them. And, you know, this is faith, right? This is faith. And so you're going through the trial, and you got to smile. And somebody says, how's everything going? They say, everything's going fine. Just like the lady, the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings. Or is it 1 Kings? Anyway, it's in Kings. And her daughter and the son had died, right? And the prophet said, next year, about this time, you're going to have a little bitty baby boy. Next time I see you, he said, oh, prophet, please don't tell me this. Don't discourage me. He said, next year, she come back next year, he had a boy. And they were so happy that little boy was there. But then the devil came and tried to steal that boy. Do you have a boy that you love? I'm sure you have a boy that you love or something you love. The devil's going to try to come and steal that. So he came. So anyway, the boy was in the field working, I guess, with his dad, maybe on the tractor. I don't know what they were doing. Maybe he was on an ox. And the boy fell. He said, my head. And he fell. I guess he had a sunstroke, heat stroke, something. Took the boy in. The boy died. So the woman said, I'll go back to the prophet, because the prophet was the only one that had the word that could speak to God like that. So they went, took the little boy to see the prophet, said, saddle my Ferrari, let's go and see the prophet. So they went to see the prophet. So the lady was coming. I wonder, you know, the prophet was looking, hey, it looks like that lady down there that we talked to that had the baby boy. Go and see him. Go and see, ask what's happening. And the prophet sent his worker out there, his servant, and is there anything, what's up? She said, nothing is wrong. Is anything wrong? No, all is well. She's speaking by faith. Speaking by faith. So this is you and I. When we go into trouble, we need to say, what's wrong? If somebody tells you, how's everything going? Oh, yeah, everything's going fine. Yeah. And I remember Brother Higgins said, you know, he had the worst church ever that in his region, and everybody didn't want to go there because they even if you preached there for a week, they'd give you like a handshake or something. They wouldn't pay you. You know, I've been through that too, so understand. But, you know, they expect sometimes ministers to work for nothing. But we have to eat too. I like ribs. You know? So anyway... What's wrong? Oh, nothing's wrong. So anyway, Brother Higgins said he went to this convention and everybody knew what church Pastor Brother Higgins is at because it's the worst church ever. Nobody wants to go there. It's a big church, but they don't treat their minister well. They asked him, how's everything going? I said, everything's going great. Fine. And they all said, psh, 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 psh. We know he's lying. We know what kind of leadership they have. We know what kind of trials they have. We know what the history of that church and how bad it is. How's it going, Brother? Well, everything's going great, praise God. You know? He said, when I was through with it, everybody wanted that church. Because it was the best church ever. Wow. Amen? And so things can change. So we have to speak the word just like Brother Dave said. He says, everything's good. How's it going? Everything's going great. Hallelujah. You know? And even though you're hurting, even though you got trials. So that's how faith is. You know you got trials. And all of a sudden, you know, when you're going through a storm, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through a storm. You're the only one that lost your mother. The only one in the world that ever lost a mother, a grandmother, a father, a daughter, a son. Well, you know, hey, this hurts, all right, but listen, God's still the master storm calmer. Amen? It's good to preach the faith and, you know, shout and jump up and down. Everything's going well. No one's died in your family yet. You got all your money. You've never been sick. Never had a major problem. Woo! Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God. But we have to stay strong in tough times. Let's look at Jesus here, Matthew chapter 8, verse 24-37. It says here, let's read this very quickly. It says here, let's see. Okay. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23-27. When Jesus got into the boat and started to cross the lake with his disciples, and suddenly a fierce storm struck. Everybody say a fierce storm.
Fierce.
Struck. You better be careful. A big storm will strike you. Well, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring on that storm. So the waves were breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. What kind of a guy is that? Disciples woke him up and shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. They had faith for that. Verse 26. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? Have you so little faith? And he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. You know, Jesus talked to the situation. And we have to learn something here, that we have to talk to the mountain, just like he said to his disciples earlier, to speak to the mountain. No, I mean, it might not move right that second, but something is taking place. Just like when Daniel prayed, the Bible says that God sent an answer right away, but it took some 21 days at that time, and there's a reason for that, of course, because there was opposition. You know, like somebody said, you know, Brother Hagin always used to tell us that, you know, you could make your faith work for you anytime. Yourself. Like sometimes things happen so quickly you can pray, man, bang, it's there in a moment of time. But there's sometimes you have to stand longer for certain things, especially for big things. You have to stand stronger in the storm. And you know, it's good to have your anchor down. The Bible says the Word of God is our anchor, it keeps us still in the storm. When the storm hits you very hard, a fierce storm comes, you're going to stand. And you can tell who's going to stand before a storm ever happens. And you have to decide that you're not going to quit. You have to decide before a storm ever hits your house or ever hits you that you're not going to quit. You have to determine that before. Not while it's raging. What am I going to do? Am I going to, you know? No, you have to stand. You have to make a decision like right now. Today, everybody here has to make a decision to stand during this, before a storm ever hits you. You have to say, nope, not me. I'm standing. I make up my mind right now. Come on, devil. You're not going to make me quit. I'm standing strong. My last name is Roma Standing Strong. I should adopt that name. That's a good name for me, Roma Standing Strong. I'm going to use that name. From now on, from this day, I baptize myself before you all. And call myself Standing Strong. Roma Standing. What's his name? Roma Standing Strong Fisher. Why are you afraid? He says. So you have so little faith. He got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. And my comical mind, I was thinking, he got up and grabbed Peter by the neck. And that's what I would do, right? Why are you so scared? I told you. Didn't you see the miracles that performed the other day? You know, I'd be like this. Thomas, get over here right now. He's ready to kick out Judas. I mean, that's what we do, right? In my mind, I think about this. They saw Jesus preaching. They saw his miracles. They saw him casting out devils. They saw him multiplying things. And they're crying. They said, Jesus, don't you care for us? Yeah, he's on the boat. Said, you know, I care for you. I care for you. You should write a song. That's a good song, right? I care for you. I care for you. I care for you. I care for you. Right? Jesus starts singing right away, I care for you. Disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the winds obey him. You know, these disciples were people, they were excellent people. They were working in the sea, and they knew different things going on, but they were afraid. I mean, this must have been a storm. So don't be afraid. You know, if you're going through a storm right now, I want you to be encouraged today. God wants you to be encouraged today. Don't quit. And you're not alone. The devil wants to tell you, you're the only one with this kind of problem that nobody else can ever, even Jesus himself couldn't figure this out. And that's what you go through in your mind. How could he possibly understand my problem? But he knows you. He knows your situation. If you would stand on his word and say, Lord, I'm standing strong. I'm getting out of this. I'm coming through. I'm coming out of this. And you will. So let's conclude this. You have to plan your response before the storm. And you have to be ready every day spiritually to determine your own outcome by planning that you're not going down. You do that by your continual fellowship with God, through meditation of God's word, finding scriptures that covers every aspect of your life. If it's finances, you go to the financial scriptures. If it's physical health, you go through the physical health scriptures. If it's family, you go to the family scriptures. It might take longer. And just because someone had their answer quicker, doesn't mean yours is going to be quicker or longer. It's going to happen. As sure as you're standing here, when you stand on the word, it's going to come to pass. It will come to pass. Let's go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. Father, we want to praise you and thank you for your goodness and your mercy endures forever. We praise you tonight. Let's lift up our hands and thank him. Thank God because he is the one that we look to. He is our God, our mighty Father, everlasting peace. He's the one that will calm your situation. As you begin to speak the word of God, as you stand on his word and say, Lord, I want to thank you tonight that you are the great storm calmer in my life. And I give you all my care. I'll give you every worry, every anxiety, every care, every heaviness. I turn to you right now today, Lord God. You said in Psalm 138 and verse 8 that you're concerned with everything I'm concerned about. And you told me to cast every one of my concerns on you. 1 Peter 5:7, I'm casting every concern of my family, of my finances, of my business, of my marriage, of my health. I'm casting it all on you. Every trial. And we command the enemy, we take authority over the devil in the name of Jesus. Father, you said whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so we take authority over our situations in the name of Jesus. We speak to the enemy that's causing disturbances, that's causing something to steal and kill and destroy. We break the power of the devil over every situation right now in our lives. Devil, we take your authority. We command you to get your hands off every aspect of our lives. We command you to go, let loose in Jesus' name. And we take authority over the scripture. As the scripture says, we commission angels to go forth and cause healing and health, deliverance, answers to prayers to come in manifestation according to the scriptures, according to the word of God as we speak them. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing every situation in this house, in this hour, in this time, as people listening online, that every situation shall come into manifestation, because you said we rule as kings and priests. Kings say what they want in their kingdom. They speak and decree what goes on in their lives. And so we say peace. We say restore. We say safety, preservation. We say healing and health. Rise up over every situation. We command this to be so in the name of Jesus. No, we're not trying to do this on our own. We're doing it because the Word of God says so. Speak in that situation now. We speak life and health. We choose life and not death. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the answers. The storm will pass. The sun will shine again. And as sure as we're standing here, you're going to say, God is a wonderful God. I'll give you praise, Lord, for the rest of my days. We determine as we stand here to give our lives to you, that we pray the prayer of commitment and dedication to you. And say, Lord, may your will be done in my life. And I turn my will and my life over to you. And you're taking care of it. I'm going to go to bed tonight and not worry one bit, because you're taking care of it. And I'm going to, every time I think about it, I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, for taking care of my need. And it has come to pass. In the name of Jesus. Can you go ahead and lift your hands and praise him and thank him out loud? Hallelujah. Come on, give him a shout offering of praise. You two at home, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. We lift our hands. We thank you, Jesus. Blessed be God forever. We thank you for the answer. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.